Hi, this is Daniel Decker, Chief Energy Officer of the John Gordon Companies. I'm here today with Christine Comfort Lynch. She is the author of Rules for Renegades, How to Make More Money, Rock Your Career, and Revel in Your Individuality. Hi, Christine. How are you today?
I'm terrific. Thanks so much, Daniel.
So I'm glad that you were able to take time out of your schedule to be on with us. So let's start by kind of letting folks know who you are and what you've done. And I'd love for you if you can just kind of give an overview of the Mighty Ventures and what you're up to these days.
Great. Okay, so I'll do a quick bio first. I am a high school dropout and a 7-year Buddhist monk, and did a lot of other crazy things, trained to be a geisha. I really didn't discover the business world until I was 27, and then 10 years later, I had made over $10 million. So I think that it's kind of interesting to people, wow, how did she have all this success with basically no education? And so we'll talk about that throughout the interview, but what Mighty Ventures does is we help people accelerate their business, whether they are a startup or a huge company. So we'll go into huge Fortune 1000 companies and help them innovate faster, help them make their people more entrepreneurial, more excited, more energized, more accountable, help them really kind of deal with their risk aversion and become risk ready. And then for small companies, we help them propel their business forward much faster.
Fantastic. You certainly seem like a very focused and driven individual. Now, is that something that, you know, has been pretty much your DNA from the get-go? Did you know once you were going into the business sector what your target was, or what was the process with you on that?
You know, I find that things have always evolved for me, and I find that the biggest issue that most people have, I think, is they aren't excited and energized about their career and their work because they don't know why they're doing it. I mean, first you have to have a job that you love, but then you also have to figure out what's behind it. So in my earlier years, I was really driven by I'll show them, because I was told as a kid that I was sort of a loser and I should have been a boy and blah, blah, blah. And then as I got older and a little wiser, I came more from service and serving humanity and wanting to make a difference in the world. So I think it's so important for people to tap into, you know, what are they dedicating their work to? That gives you more energy, that gives you more gusto, and that helps you really enjoy your work more.
Definitely. Now, does that kind of stem, too, from the fact that you didn't have a high school diploma or a college degree, that you were having doors shut on you, or was just your tenacity was enabling you to open up those doors just by pure virtue of that?
Yeah, well, a lot of doors have been slammed in my face, but, you know, when people say no, I say, next. And I think I have fairly staggering perseverance because, you know, how could a high school dropout, you know, get into Microsoft, you know, in my earlier years when they wouldn't take anybody without a double E or a computer science degree, and then, you know, be one of their first female early engineers there. And then, of course, you know, consult to two presidents and 700 to Fortune 1000 and pass a bill in Congress and raise $200 million of venture capital. You know, so all these kind of crazy things. What's important about people reading Rules for Renegades is that they realize if I can do it, and really I can be a total potato head. I mean, if I can do it, anybody can do it. Because a lot of us think to have a really fulfilling life and a rocking career and, you know, a really rich, wonderful life, we have to have something special. And I really want to debunk that myth. You know, I want to demystify success.
Well, that's, you know, that's a good question because I think a lot of people, and even looking at your bio, it is a bit overwhelming because I think a lot of folks, they look at the destination of where someone is and don't realize the journey that it took to get there. And maybe that's a bit overwhelming to folks.
You know what? That's such a good point, Daniel. Oh, my gosh. And one of my big beefs with a lot of business books is it's like, Shazam, and then I was a gajillionaire.
Right.
You know? And they don't talk about the path and the doors being slammed in your face and the adversity and, you know, the triumph over adversity and the trials and tribulations. And I think in Rules for Renegades, what's resonating with people is it's such an honest book and such a transparent and authentic book. And you see all these mistakes that I make, which then are cautionary tales. Don't do this. Don't do what I did. Be smarter. And then I think also when people read biz books, they get excited, but then they don't know how to implement. And in Rules for Renegades, as we go through each of the 10 rules, we then have a companion website where you can download forms and you can, you know, create your new identity. You can get tips for overcoming adversity if you're having a bad day. If you're feeling really drained, you can go and read the power boosters and do some of those exercises and pump yourself back up.
I think that one of the rules out of the 10, and obviously folks need to pick up the book to read them all, and where can they get that, Christine?
They can get it at rulesforrenegades.com. And actually, we're doing a wild and crazy sales campaign where if people buy the book by the 31st of August, they'll get over $3,000 worth of bonuses.
Wow.
So now is the time.
Yeah, really.
we always tell our friends, you know, buy 3 books. Buy one for yourself, buy one for a renegade in your life, and then buy one for a friend who's maybe struggling a little bit and needs some inspiration and some energy and some very specific techniques for turning their life around.
Well, I've read through the book personally, and I found it of great value, because I think just one key point for me is that there's a lot of folks that look at innovators and innovative leadership and whatnot from a business and a life standpoint. And they see that end point, and they don't realize everything that it took to get there. But I think one of the key components that comes out of your book, at least to me personally, is rule number 2, which is forget an MBA, get a GSD. Speak on that for a little bit.
Yes. I think a lot of us think if I only had some amazing educational pedigrees, you know, those pedigrees then would open doors. And it's true. Often pedigrees do boost credibility, which may open doors, but we find the most important credential to have is a GSD, which stands for Gets Stuff Done.
I love it.
If your name, if your brand, if you will, is synonymous with results, doors will open. I see this so often in resumes. Resumes are like, I worked here and da-da-da-da-da, but they don't say, I achieved this, I achieved that, I achieved that. And if you are presenting yourself as a person who achieves great things and you spell those things out, I boosted sales by X percent. I launched a new product which brought in Y amount of revenue. You know, if you're constantly focusing on what results am I generating, it also helps us shape our careers and our lives better, because we can work forever. And then if we don't watch what is the bottom line, what are the results coming out of our work, you know, we're wasting our time.
Well, this might be a kind of two-headed question here playing off of that. Your book, is it written more so from a leadership, a business person, or is it across the board? Who did you write it for?
Oh, start there. Great question. Yes. Okay. Well, you know, I can say who I wrote it for, but I'd rather say who's reading it and getting benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So who's reading this book and sending me these wild emails and letters and packages saying, oh, my God, this changed my life. And the book's been only out for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Our publisher just sent us the latest book scan rankings, and that your book is doing phenomenally well, which is a great testament, I think, to the fact that people are eating it up.
And you know what's cool? I mean, you read it in seriously 4 to 5 hours. It's not going to take you forever, and it's just the stuff you need. It's short, sweet, compact. So I think, you know, when people are picking this book up, the people who are sending us these letters are super diverse. There's, you know, the typical, the entrepreneur, and they can be of any age, but someone who's starting a business or has a business that they want to grow. Then the intrapreneur, somebody at a huge Fortune 1000 company who is trying to be entrepreneurial within that big bureaucracy. And then we're getting people who are fresh from college. A lot of business schools are buying it as a textbook, which is interesting. And then we're getting a lot of people who have realized, you know, I'm retired and I'm really totally bored. And they want to go back and they want to start something new, and they need sort of a jolt, or people who are coming off the mommy or daddy track,
mm-hmm.
who want to get back in the workforce. So I've got to say, I wrote it for people who want to rock their career and rock their life, and I'm surprised at how broad the response has been.
Now, going back to from the GSD, is there a common question that you get? Because I would imagine, just, you know, from a pulse on the average individual out there, getting stuff done is certainly, I think, way too often people overthink and under-execute. But I also see a common trait in a lot of folks out there. They're just not sure what to get done.
Yeah. And that's why we have chapter number 3, rule number 3, which is problems plus pain equals profit. Because all too often people are trying to solve problems, but they're not painful problems.
Mm.
That's the key. When you're starting a business, you've got to find a problem out in the world that has pain attached to it, because that's when people will take a risk on a small company. When you're in a huge company and you want to identify pain, that's how you're going to get budget for that particular project. If you're launching a nonprofit, find where the pain is. If you're doing the PTA fundraiser and you want to rock that, find out what the past pains have been. If you present yourself as the pain remover, you will get that opportunity. You will be able to prove your GSD by getting into the right situation. So focus is all about, how can I be of service and remove pain? This is how I've started every company of mine, and a lot of my companies have just kind of smacked me in the face, because I'm always out there looking for pain. I mean, I was in line at Starbucks a few years ago, and I was talking to this guy next to me. He tapped me on the shoulder, saw that I was reading a tech magazine, and said, do you know about technology? And I said, yes. And he told me about this big pain. Of course, a little alarm went off. Ding, ding, pain. in the packaged goods space. And he said, there's, you know, all these untargeted promotions, blah, blah, blah. If only I could find a technologist to help me solve this. And I said, you know, let's grab our lattes and sit down. We started a company then and there at Starbucks with this total stranger. Worked together for a few months, got millions of dollars of venture capital. Several years later, I sold my piece for millions and millions of bucks because he had pain. I had a solution to that painful problem, and together we provided a great service.
That's a very, very good point, identifying the pain and offering a solution.
Yeah.
I love that. Now, there's another point that I noted in the book here on the entrepreneur versus the intrapreneur. And now that's a term I don't think is very widely used out there from an intrapreneur standpoint on a common scale. How does someone, because I know that's a problem with a lot of the folks out there, they're in a company or they're in an organization, or maybe a church or whichever, and they're feeling they're being stifled, that their creativity is being depleted from them. Are there certain things that they can do within that organization to not just have to jump out, maybe because obviously starting a business isn't for everyone, things that they can do tangibly within the organization to move ahead in a renegade fashion?
That is such a great, great point. Yes, and I'm not at all espousing dump your security and go start a company. You know, the vast majority of the time, that's a bad idea. I think people should, you know, be a renegade where they are. And let's just quickly define renegade. A renegade is a person with a degree of passion and commitment that exceeds the norm. And a renegade is a person, when they see stumbling blocks, they say, ah, heck, I'm going to make that into a stepping stone. So they don't just take no so easily. They see rules as general guidelines. And the reason that we had to write rules for renegades, I think, is I just kept finding people who wanted to do great things, and then they kept kind of coming across these hurdles, and they didn't know how to get around them. So as they read the book and they see people who were entrepreneurs and intrapreneurs negotiating these hurdles, it really gives them hope and gives them techniques. Now, when you're in a huge company, you have to learn how to kind of work it to get what you want to get done. And that's why we have rule number 6, which is learn to love networking. And rule number 6 really talks about how to get emotional equity with people. And we all know what financial equity is, stocks, bonds, etc. Emotional equity is when somebody cares so much about you achieving your dream that they put their ego on the line to help you get there. Now, you really need this in a huge company or in any sort of bureaucracy, and often nonprofits, little nonprofits, can be pretty bureaucratic as well. The PTA fundraiser, woo, you know, the PTA, et cetera, any school organizations can be pretty bureaucratic. So there's just a few steps. First, energy equals equity. Put energy into your relationships with people, invest in them, find out what they care about, help them get what they want, and you will get emotional equity with them. Now, equity then leads to access. Access means access to their information, access to their ideas, access to their different connections and contacts. And that access then leads to influence, which is what you wanted to get in the first place, but you've got to go through this process. So this is a process for building emotional equity in people, putting that energy into them, getting the equity. Equity then gives you access to their information and their context and their heart and their mind, and then that results in the influence that you want. This is not just pure networking, you know, or pure schmoozing. This is heart-oriented. So many people say, I have 5,000 contacts in my Rolodex, but how many connections do you have?
I love LinkedIn from that mentality, because it's so funny to me to see, you know, the organizations like that where obviously it is a very good social networking tool from a business standpoint, but to have so many contacts, but then you look at that and wonder, how many of those are genuine, true relationships?
Yes.
And
LinkedIn is a great example. Don't link with people you don't know.
Yeah.
I get all these requests, and it's not a numbers game. It's not a quantity. It's a quality.
Exactly. And you can't skip. You can't go from zero to influence without some type of relationship building in that process.
Yeah, and let me finish that Starbucks story just by giving an example of this whole emotional equity idea. So you guys all know, you know, I built this company out of a standing line at Starbucks, and the way I got out of it was a couple years had passed, you know, and I usually, you know, want to flip my companies in 3 to 5 years. I'm like, okay, I did that, I achieved that, what's next? So I had transitioned out of the company, and I still had a ton of stock, but I was doing my next company, and the team was there running the company, everything was good. I got a call one day, And this was a man that had asked me for a bunch of favors that I'd put a lot of energy into, and thus apparently developed a lot more emotional equity than I realized. He calls me up and he says, grab paper and a pen. Write this name and this phone number down. So I did. He said, if you were to call this man at this phone number right now, it might just result in him buying your shares from that promotions company, because I understand, a little bird told me, you know, that he's poking around your company.
Secret spy business going on here.
Yeah, poking around companies in your space, and he's going to want to know about your company and to buy those shares. I made the phone call. Within a few weeks, several $1 million were wired into my account.
Wow.
I hadn't known this man very well who gave me this information previously, but I kept giving him, you know, energy and helping him achieve his goals, and one day I get the phone call that makes me millions of dollars.
Wow, that is a great rule. So, I mean, your success, obviously someone in your platform and all that you've accomplished from, you know, working with presidents to Bill Gates and whatnot. Now, and that's something I ran across too. Did you date Bill Gates at one time?
Yes, briefly.
Wow. That's very interesting. So you can, you know, share secret hidden information about Microsoft. Not hardly. But
you guys are going to have to read the book for that.
There you go. Now tell them again where they can get the book at.
Yes, rulesforrenegades.com.
Rulesforrenegades.com.
Buy at least 3 books, one for you, one for a renegade in your life, and then one for a friend that you think would really kind of benefit from a shot in the arm to get them jazzed about their lives. And this is all by August 31st. After August 31st, we'll be referring people from our website to all the major retailers. But to get the $3,000 for the bonuses, you got to buy it by August 31st.
And what type of bonuses will folks get?
Oh, my gosh. First of all, they get a couple of passes, 2 passes to our Rules for Renegade Summit, which is going to be in spring 2008, where we're going to get all these renegades together, and we're going to go over the Rules for Renegades, do cool breakout sessions, do a rejection party like we talk about in Rock Rejection and Finesse Failure, so people can get desensitized, have more courage because they're desensitized to rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, several teleseminars they're going to get, a drawing to get $1,000 worth of consulting directly from me.
Wow.
They're going to get bonuses from T. Harv Eker of Millionaire Mind, Jack Canfield of Success Principles, Chet Holmes, one of the number one sales gurus on the planet. I mean, it goes on and on and on. So we have audios, videos, e-books, seminars, all these goodies you're going to get, well over worth $3,000 if you buy on rulesforrenegades.com by August 31st.
And that's a phenomenal value, especially considering the book's, what, $15, $20?
Yeah, it's $17.95. I know.
That's a great return on investment, I would say.
It is, Daniel. Yeah.
Now, before we've got a few more minutes here before we start wrapping it up, but I did want to note too that a lot of your success has also been mirrored with a philanthropic attitude. And something I'm picking up here in this conversation is that you're very service oriented. That you care a lot about other people, and that I thought it was great that you defined what a renegade was, so that people aren't confused that a renegade is a rebel.
Right.
And I think that's a phenomenal attribute to you, and kudos to you. And what are some of the projects and personal things that are near and dear to your heart that you're trying to accomplish?
Yes, okay, and just a sec on the whole renegade versus rebel thing. Yeah, a renegade says, this is the current structure out there. I'm going to learn how to navigate it in a clever way. Right?
Yeah.
They're not just going to, like, diss everything, because what's the point there?
Right.
You know, you can't get anything done. You can't affect great change if you just trash the system. You need to know how to negotiate the system in a clever way. So causes that I care about, I do 10 hours of service per month. So when people say, you know, work-life balance is impossible, I say, no, you need to set goals in 7 different areas. And really, in the 7 areas that we talk about in Chapter 1, in Everything's an Illusion, so pick one that's empowering, the 7 areas that we talk about in setting goals, only 2 are business-related.
Mm-hmm.
5 are personal life-related. And if you set goals in these 7 areas, you will have a balanced life, because you need to achieve your goals. You need to have an accountability partner to help hold you accountable. But when I look at sort of, you know, what's this all about and why am I doing all this, it's about removing pain was my original goal when I became a Buddhist monk. I want to remove the pain and suffering in the world. And I found that by doing service in a business context and also in a nonprofit context, that's the best way for me to do it. So I work with hospice patients.
Mm-hmm.
I help people die. I work with kids and literacy. I work with addiction, which I think is a real problem, especially in America, causes like that, and then I do some environmental work as well.
Well, that's very much to be admired there, because I think that's a thing that a lot of people have to understand, too, is that there is a balance that needs to be created, and the fact that you're doing good by giving back is a great thing.
Yeah, and you know, 50% of my profits from this book, from Rules for Renegades, go to assorted nonprofits, and we list them at the back of the book.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So the book is not only good for the reader, but good for the cause.
Exactly.
I love it. Well, before we close here, I just want to, you know, if there's any last thing or any one thing that you want to tell people or that they need to address right now, that is going to be the benefit, that's the hook, the line and sinker for buying this book, here's your opportunity.
Yes. Okay. I've met tens of thousands of people in my life. I've had the great good fortune to spend time with all sorts of people. And the reason I wrote Rules for Renegades is because every single person I've met has a renegade within them. And this book helps you identify that renegade and bring that renegade out and gives you tools to achieve all the things you want to achieve in your life. It doesn't matter if they're business dreams, if they're personal life dreams, if they're health and wellness dreams, you know, whatever, spirituality dreams, it doesn't matter. I think so many of us are so much greater than we realize. Really, I mean, if someone like me who drops out of high school, runs away, etc., can have this kind of an impact that I've had the great good fortune to have on the world and give millions of dollars away to nonprofits and thousands of hours and have rich relationships, but also a really fulfilling career, you can do it too. And this little simple book, 200 plus pages, really helps you identify yourself as a renegade and understands how you can negotiate the world, be of service, not ruffle people's feathers, but get lots of stuff accomplished and really do good and, you know, make a difference with your life. Find more meaning in your work and life.
I love it. So rule number one on a sub-rule of the GSD is if you're sitting there right now listening to this audio recording and you're saying, I'm not sure what to do, I'm feeling stuck, I'm not sure which direction to go, your first getting stuff done is to buy the book, read it, digest it, take action to it. And Christine, I want to thank you for being on with us today, and let's end the call with telling folks one more time where they can get the book and about the bonuses.
Yes. Okay, so the book is at rulesforrenegades.com, rules, F-O-R, renegades.com. We have over $3,000 worth of bonuses if you buy the book by August 31st. And the bonuses include a two-day Renegade Summit that we're going to have in spring of 2008. Super fun, 2 days of free training. It'll be a great event. Then we've got a couple of teleseminars as well. We have got $1,000 worth of consulting that we'll be doing a raffle for, a drawing for. We've got bonuses from T. Harv Eker on changing your mindset about money. We've got a 30-day plan to get you from where you are to where you want to be from Jack Canfield. We've got selling tips from Chet Holmes. We've got networking and persuasion and power of an hour tips from Dave Licani. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Videos, audios, ebooks. It's nuts.
I love it.
Yeah, well, lots of good stuff.
Well, thanks again. I'm really fortunate to have had the opportunity to speak with you today, and good luck on your travels out there, and hopefully we can all do our part to help you sell a million books next week.
Thank you so much, Daniel.